So hi, my name is Benny. Besides being the cameraman for today, I'm also a senior product manager for the ADA product group. I was also part of the original team that was acquired by Microsoft, the Arwato startup in Israel, which is now ADA.
And good morning, everyone. I'm Hayden Hainsworth, and I look after our customer and partner experience team in security engineering within CNE at Microsoft. And in case you didn't know, Arwato stood for the word invisible. We like to be invisible to the attackers. So, great. Okay, can I have this?
Yeah.
We decided to spice it up for you guys that we would co-present. So hopefully that dynamic energy will resonate. What I wanted to do was go through the agenda with you, but before I get started on the agenda, just to get a sense of who's in the room, how many of you have already deployed ATA? Great. Okay, and then how many of you are going to deploy ATA? Awesome.
So Benny has some t-shirts. Who are going to deploy ATA, just some of that. I'm not gonna go.
What about for those that have already deployed?
How did that happen?
We have more.
Okay, yeah. The podium here is basically filled just with t-shirts. So we'll pass them along.
And how many of you are on the fence? You don't know whether you need this product, what the big hype is all about, and you just
want to. So all of you move there.
He's kidding. Okay, great. Our objectives for today, the agenda, we're going to cover briefly what it is to level set you all, and then we'll talk about what's new. We're also going to go deep into the planning. So for those of you that have already deployed it, sorry for the basics here, but it's important to level set for the room. So we're going to go over the sizing and the key decisions that you need to be able to make so that when you walk out of the room, you literally can go home and begin that deployment. And then on the deployment, like what are those requirements and what are the best practices? We'll also be available at the end. If we don't have time to take interactive Q&A in the session, then we will stay to answer those questions that you have. So hopefully this is a great session for all of you on the journey. And we're looking ultimately for everyone in this room to literally have that sense of urgency to go get this product deployed and to continue to use it. And we'd love to hear your feedback on your experience. So with that, let's get started and talk about what it is. Now, how many of you have heard of the Lockheed Martin kill chain? Okay, a good number of you, great. So we've taken some liberties with it. They were the originators of it, but we've created an ATA kill chain. And with that, we'll walk you through the steps from recon through domain dominance and why we think this is such an important product that's going to help you get visibility on that lateral movement from those APTs that are compromising credentials. So it all starts with external reconnaissance. And from there, the adversary is going to look to compromise an initial machine. They do this through social engineering, they do this through phishing, they do this by sending malware. One user somewhere is going to click a link. Now, of course, with advanced threat protection, with Office and with Windows, we simplify a lot of that. But assuming they get through and they compromise that initial machine, they then begin their internal reconnaissance process. They're inside your network. They don't know anything about your network, but they're inside your network, and they're going to look for privilege escalation, basically. They're looking for the domain admin credentials. So they don't know anything about the environment, and they begin hunting and moving around. They have a number of known techniques and tactics that they employ in order to be able to accomplish this. So they're going to basically move around passing tickets, the Kerberos ticket, machine to machine, or passing the NTLM hash, machine to machine, and they're going to look to escalate privileges. From there, they're doing their admin reconnaissance. Let's say they land on one machine and they get some admin credentials. That's great, but it's not enough, because if you reset that account, then they've lost it and they got to go start all over again. So they're going to continue this process and they want domain admin creds. And from there, this low privilege lateral movement cycle, which happens very fast, initiates domain dominance. Once they have domain dominance, they can persist. They begin this high privilege lateral movement cycle. This takes time. They begin their reconnaissance phase, and ultimately what they're looking for, this is a new adversary that comes in, they're looking for that sensitive IP that is unique to your company that they want to harvest and they want to exfiltrate. So if you're in the pharmaceutical industry, You probably have a lot of sensitive IP related to different drugs. They bring in an adversary that's familiar to hunt through that to determine what is the most important, you know, new treatment that's coming out, and then that's what they're looking to exfiltrate. If you're a financial company, they're looking for the, you know, credit card numbers or the way that they can exfiltrate assets. So different adversary than the one that's going to compromise and move laterally. But from there, they basically complete their mission and they want to exfiltrate data. So what you see here is a really nice visualization that shows you that Advanced Threat Analytics, this product, is going to give you visibility on this low privilege and high privilege lateral movement cycle. It's really important, and we don't believe there are any tools in the market today that offer you this type of capability, and that really, honestly, all of you need it. So with that, I'll talk about what it is. Now, it's an on-premise platform, which might be a little, you know, different, because as a company, we've invested so much in cloud that this, you know, is quite interesting for some. They're like, hang on a second, we're moving to cloud, but yet you still have a need to manage your on-premise for some time. There's still legacy XP, there's Windows Server 3, there's Windows Server 2008 R2. We'd love for all of you to move to Windows Server 2016 and Windows 10, but until you do, you have that environment that's in place, and there are ways in which the adversary can exploit it. So with that, we brought this product to market, and the whole point of it is to identify advanced persistent threats. And by studying those APTs, we know that they're compromising credentials, and we know that they're moving laterally. Now, there's two really important components to this product that differentiates it from others. It's the combination of studying behavioral analytics. In other words, who am I, and how do I behave normally? And, you know, how might I behave differently if somebody's compromised my identity? And so, basically, we're looking for behavior and abnormal behavior for users and machines and resources in your environment. It's a machine learning-based algorithm that's going to build a decision tree that understands what is normal behavior in your environment. That is the behavioral analytics piece. The second piece is the detection of the advanced attacks. So we know which deterministic attacks are occurring in the wild. Pass the hash, pass the ticket, overpass the hash, golden ticket, skeleton key malware, etc. And we will fire alerts immediately when we see those in your environment. It's the power of these two combined that basically is advanced threat detection. Now, there's a really similar analogy to the credit card industry. So you guys are all here today, but if somebody were to use your credit card to purchase gas in your hometown, wherever that might be, that would be abnormal because your credit card industry knows that you got on a plane, knows that you checked in a hotel, and would probably flag that. Similarly, when I try to buy shoes from John Lewis in the UK, they're like, okay, Chase shuts it down every time. Got to figure out a way to let me buy shoes in the UK, but you get the point. So it's a combination of all of this. Now, I talked about abnormal behavior. I talked about deterministic attacks. On that kill chain, you want to catch the adversary as early as possible so you can remediate it and determine, you know, what actions you want to take. It's all about protecting your assets. So for reconnaissance, it's the first phase. It's internal recon. We have alerts for DNS enumeration or net session enumeration or even SAMR enumeration that will fire an alert so we can catch them right at the very beginning when they're trying to exploit the Kerberos protocol to find out whether there are usernames that are valid in your environment, as an example. From there, compromised credentials is the next step on the kill chain. From here, you can see that we'd fire an alert if somebody seemed to be working abnormal working hours or if there's some malicious data protection private info request. From there, it's about lateral movement. Now, we see this all the time. You know, the adversary knows how to steal the ticket and move it machine to machine, or how to steal the hash and move it machine to machine, or overpass the hash, which in essence is an encryption downgrade. And so we'd fire alerts there for you. And privilege escalation, forged pack, we issued and flagged that vulnerability years ago, but yet we still see this occurring in the wild. And so we would alert on privilege escalation and, of course, domain dominance, skeleton key malware, or golden ticket, and malicious replication of Active Directory as well. So this is a really nice summary slide. I encourage you all to study it, really reflect on whether the products that you have in your portfolio today will detect all of this movement in your environment. If not, you have a blind spot, and that's where this product can help. So from there, I'm basically going to pass it to Benny once you're all completed taking the pictures, because it is a really powerful slide. And we'll talk about what's new in ATA. Thanks, Benny.
Plus the clicker. That's a new attack.
Plus the clicker, yes.
Thanks. So I'm going to talk about some new features that we had in 1.6 and 1.7 in the last few months, releases that we made. So first of all, the Lightweight Gateway. How many of you know what the Lightweight Gateway is? Okay, so less than half. So
do they get a T-shirt?
If they don't know? Well, okay. Just because you asked. Okay, so the basic overview of the product is that we have a center and a gateway, right? And the center is basically the brains of the operation. It gets all of the parse traffic. Let me take a step back. So our data sources for all of this, right, are network traffic to domain controllers, events in the organization, and Active Directory. Those are the three data sources. We have two server roles, a gateway and a center. The gateway is the one that collects these data sources. And in the past, it collected it via port mirroring. So we need to port mirror the domain controller traffic to the gateway. And the center is the other role that basically governs all of the gateways, does the abnormal machine behavior, the deterministic detections that Aiden talked about, the profiling, the UI, all of that. So we heard from a lot of you that it's very hard for large environments where you have many domain controllers, tens or even hundreds, spread across all over the globe, to set up port mirroring, to purchase hardware, and put gateways across all over the globe near to your domain controllers. So what we did is basically came out with a modified version of the gateway. From a functionality perspective, it does the same thing, which basically can be installed on top of the domain controller. And instead of monitoring port mirror traffic, it simply monitors the local traffic on the domain controller. So the main goal here is to, you know, unblock some of the deployments that we had that simply, from a time perspective, operation perspective, money perspective, couldn't do it, to lower the total cost of ownership. So that's the Lightweight Gateway. It came out in 1.6 in May. The main scenarios here are branch sites. So, you know, your many, many small sites that you don't need, you know, a hefty server for a gateway, dedicated gateway. Do the port mirroring is sometimes very difficult in those branch sites, due to old switches and routers and stuff like that. And also IaaS domain controllers. So I don't care if it's Azure, Amazon, or any other cloud vendor, we support monitoring those domain controllers that own infrastructure as a service via the Lightweight Gateway. So you install the Lightweight Gateway on top of those virtual domain controllers. One key element that basically differentiates the Lightweight Gateway from the gateway is the resource limitation. And this is very important, so I'm going to spend a couple of minutes here. So when you think about it, the gateway is essentially a very smart and sophisticated, because we do have a few patents and logics there that are enhancing the data that we see, which I'm not going to cover here. But it's basically a very smart parsing platform, right? It's 24/7, getting the traffic, similar to Netmon, Wireshark, Message Analyzer, all of those. And you know, doing that 24 hours can be resource intensive. What happens if there is a spike in traffic? You know, that can take a lot of the resources. And we are basically installed and running on your most sensitive server in the organization, or one of the most at least. So we want to make sure that the domain controller is up and running and have enough resources no matter what happens. That was our utmost important mission when we released this. So what we did is basically introduced a resource limitation module with the Lightweight Gateway, that basically sets a quota on the gateway process, and it monitors the free resources for CPU and memory every few seconds, and then it reevaluates the quota if it needs to reduce the quota for ourselves, for our process, or it can increase it. The way we do this, and there's an example here, so the first line is when everything is functioning correctly, and the second line is when stuff happens that makes us reduce the quota. So you can see that the server, by server I mean domain controller, right? CPU utilization, it could be memory and CPU by the way, but I'm, for simplicity's sake, I'm just gonna talk about CPU, is using 40% CPU. So that's the utilization of the server without us. And the second column here is what we, it's a configurable value, but by default we would keep at least 15% available resources. So 15% CPU resources free. So we would go up to 85. The server itself as a whole would not go over 85 on average. So 100 minus 40 minus 15, right, that's 45. So the quota at the moment that the gateway puts on itself would be 45. And let's say that the actual gateway utilization at the moment, the CPU, or memory again, utilization is 20, so it's less than the quota, so we're fine. The gateway is healthy, it can monitor all of the traffic, all of the events, do everything it needs, no resource constraint. Now let's say there is a spike, either it could be in the morning time, and I didn't size accordingly to that morning peak traffic, which we'll talk about that in about a couple of minutes, in a few minutes. And in that case, or there's a backup job or anything else that has a spike of traffic or spike of work, the server itself now is utilizing 80% of the resources. And we want to keep free 15. So that leaves us with a quota of 100 minus 80 minus 15, of 5. So that's the quota. And by the way, that's the minimum quota we can get to. And let's say we are still at that phase where we need the 20% or even more power because there's more traffic, so we need a bit more of CPU, but the actual utilization would be 5% because we have a quota till 5%. And at that phase, the gateway is not healthy. And we would have a health alert in the ATA console for that, but and we would basically monitor just part of the traffic and part of the events that we are getting. That's the downside here, of course, but the domain controller would not know any different. It would not know that something else is happening, and we would give up resources for that. Great. Was that clear? Yeah? Okay, I'm seeing a lot of nodding. That's good. If not, then in the Q&A you can ask me about that. Okay. So second feature that's new, also in 1.6, is the automatic updates. So we can basically automatically update your ATA deployment. This is very important. Every update, and we do try every few months to release an update, sometimes even less than that. It's new detections, it's bug fixes, it's some minor improvements here and there, mainly detections focused, new features. So it's very good and important for you to update your deployment once you have it. And this feature would help you to do that. So this, first of all, you need to update the center. So again, that's the brain of the operations. And it's integrated with Microsoft Update. And in the screenshot, you can see that you get a notification in our ATA console and that, you know, we have an update. And then you go to the Microsoft Update client, download it, install it, next finish, basically. Sometimes there will be a migration for data, sometimes not. You can also opt out to migrate the data and just update everything if you don't need all of the data. And then you update the center. A few other options, if you don't have internet connectivity from the center, then WSAS, of course. Or SCCM or any other third-party patch management product can also update the center. All of our deployment, by the way, the center and gateway has a silent option to it, so you can do whatever you want with SCCM or any other, you know, service control management that you have. And manually, of course, so you can go to the KB article or the download center and download the update and just deploy it manually. So that's also an option. Gateway update options. So we have added in 1.7 a new UI, an enhanced UI in the configuration part of ATA that basically lets you govern how you update all of the gateways. Gateways you would probably have 10, 20, 100, you know, as many domain controllers as you have, you'll probably have a lot of those lightweight gateways or gateways as well. And you can, and basically the ATA Center, if you choose to, automatically updates all of that for you. And it lets you, if you want, you can update all at once, or you can select few and update those automatically and then update others automatically, and you also govern if it's gonna restart the server which is it's installed on automatically or not. So you have all of that granular control from the UI. And obviously also SCCM, third-party silent installation, so you can package that in SCCM if you want, and manually if you choose to. But if you have a lot of gateways, that's probably not the option, the best option. OK. Improved performance. So we are investing, each version, we're investing a lot in performance. The product is doing a lot. It's basically monitoring your traffic of the entire Active Directory infrastructure that you have. That's a lot of work. Understanding and profiling what all of the users are doing, the computers are doing, and in real time doing detections both in both the machine learning and all of the deterministic ones for the attack kill chain. So that's a lot of work. So center performance, we improved by twice in the latest release, 400,000 packets per second on average. And we can actually go a bit higher than that. The documentation that we, and basically the supportability statement and the sizing guidance that we make are worst case scenarios. Depending on your organization and the ratio between protocols that you may have in your environment may change that a bit. I have seen customers with more than 500,000 packets per second globally that worked perfectly fine, and even more than that could also be achieved. But that's the official worst case number. We also introduced a lot of improvements here. I'm not going to dive too deep into that. If you want, after that, you can come and we'll discuss the details. A lot of technical re-engineering that was made to all of the detection engine, the way we process everything. One of the other benefits of some of the changes we've made is 5 times less storage. So we basically compress everything now. Everything is compressed when it's saved. So and that's also something that we heard from many of you when you deployed earlier versions. So we went ahead and tackled that so we can make sure that, again, the total cost of ownership of ATA is as low as possible. And that's something we are always investing in. Gateway improvements. So again, the collector, the gateway that's basically monitoring the traffic, getting the events. We added entry-level gateways, so 1,000 packets per second, 5,000 packets per second. Those are actually more common domain controllers than the heavier one with more traffic. So we added supportability and sizing guidance for them. We basically improved the parsing platform a bit to have 20% more packets per second supportability. And that's something we are investing heavy in, by the way. So you can expect that number to improve. I don't have any ETA, but it will improve. And we'll be consuming less memory on the heavier domain controllers, on the heavier gateways. So those are the performance investments. Role groups just added in 1.7 that came out a few weeks ago. So we basically have 3 role groups. So we've started the role-based access control feature with basic role groups. So we have ATA admin, which is basically the one that does everything. It can do anything in the UI. The ATA operator, which is basically the ATA admin minus the configuration, so it can change and work with suspicious activities. That's what we call our alerts, a suspicious activity. It can have notes, change statuses, do everything but change configuration. So basically, the security operations team would be that. The identity administrators would probably be in that role. And the ATA viewer, so somebody that can just log in and view. It cannot change. He or she cannot change anything. So maybe the security executive or somebody else that just want to have guest permissions to ATA. Great. So those are the new things. So let's move on now to planning. So first thing about planning is to do the sizing. How many of you have downloaded and used the sizing tool? So a few t-shirts. Keep your hands up.
Well, make sure you go to the left and the right. Here, I'll do that.
OK. So who?
Yeah. Oh, you have? That's
you, sir. You, sir.
Oops.
And who else? I don't know if that worked, but if you raised your hand and you didn't got a t-shirt by the time we're done, then come by and we'll share them out. Or maybe only if you ask a nice question in the Q&A, then I'll share them out. I need to work a bit for it. OK. So basically, the sizing tool. So why do we need to size to begin with? So everything is about packets per second. The more traffic we have, the more work, and there's a lot of work that we do on all of that traffic to be able to work properly. This is the URL to download the tool. It's in the TechNet gallery. It's a Microsoft tool. We developed it. One of our engineers developed it. Let's do actually a quick demo of the tool, just so we get a sense of what it is exactly. It's a fairly simple tool. I'm gonna demo the running of the tool. So it's very, very simple. So you basically just double click, and that's it. And that's the tool. What it basically does, yeah. I think so. Yeah, thanks. So it basically goes and enumerates all the domain controller with the credentials the user is running it with, and just starting to record. So every few seconds, it's getting from all of the domain controllers in the domain, how many packets per second on the NIC, and querying available memory and CPU for the lightweight gateway. So it needs domain admin credentials. If it doesn't have domain admin credentials, then at least a performance logs and alerts group, so it can at least read the packets per second, but it will not give you some of the memory and CPU numbers. And by default, it also runs with some parameters you can change, like it runs for 24 hours, and it has something called the busy window, which we'll talk about, which is 15 minutes. So it does all of that for you. And after that, you get a nice Excel, which we'll go over now, because that's the important part. So can you see? Do I need to zoom in? Is it OK now? Another zoom, maybe? OK, cool. So that's the output of the tool. This is actually from one of my customers, just renamed the name so that you won't, you know, I won't tell you who it is. So basically what you get here is the center sizing, and the table below that is for the gateway sizing, or lightweight gateway. It lets you know when it ran, how much samples, so usually it will be about 80,000 samples per day, that's the default. Number of domain controllers it monitored, and the most important one is obviously packets per second. And a common mistake is that usually people look at the maximum packets per second. And now, 99% of the time, you don't care about maximum packets per second. That's just for me. So everybody's running that. Maybe we'll hide that later in later versions. But you don't care about maximum packets per second. What you do care about is average and busy packets. And even mainly, you should focus on busy packets. So average packets per second, what do you think it is? By a raise of hand or by shouting?
Average.
Which is the average of? Packets per second in that run. So 24 hours by default. So the average of the entire 24 hours that we collected. Great. So what's the busy packets per second? And a t-shirt for that. Sorry? Who said peak times? OK, so I need two shirts now. OK, fine. We're fine with that. That's you and the other guy. Great. Wow, I'm really good at this. Peak time. So basically what we do is that we have a sliding window of 15 minutes, and we calculate the average. And then the next sample, we move the sliding window of another one and calculate another average. Is this average higher than the other one? If so, that's the new busy hour. If not, then we remember that that was the previous one. And just do that for the entire 24 hours or the entire run, and then we know at that time of the day, or what time of the day, was the busiest average of that 15 minutes. So it's an average of 15 minutes, but it's the busiest 15 minutes in the day. We find that for you. And that's very hard to do manually, by the way. Yeah. And we tell you exactly when that was. So you see the start time and the end time of that busy period. And when you calculate, and this is the important part, for CPU and memory for the gateway, you look at busy packets per second. That's what you care about. That's it. That's what you care about for the gateway. And actually, maybe we'll go over, oops. That was a joke I sent to a friend. Never mind. You know who. Never mind. So this is the capacity planning, so AKAMS/ATA sizing. An ATA sizing tool goes to the tool, ATA sizing goes to the sizing article. And here you can see you have a center sizing table, which we'll cover next. And you see that we have ATA lightweight gateway sizing and ATA gateway sizing. And you have, OK, if, let's say, you have 10,000 packets per second, that's what the busy hour in the Excel tells you for that domain controller, then you would need, you know, 3 cores and 12 gigs of memory for that gateway. So it's fairly simple, right? OK. So that's for the gateway. We also tell you, the domain controller, how much memory is installed. So this is total memory, this column over here. And we tell you what's the busy lowest available memory. So it doesn't have to be the same time, but we would tell you that. And just the average. Also, same thing for CPU. We'll tell you how many cores. So logical cores would be hyper-threaded cores if hyper-threading is enabled. And core count is actually the physical core count. So in this case, you see that it's 8 and 16. So that's hyper-threading enabled. So you know that as well. You also know things like the time zone. Is it DST, daylight saving, the OS, and the OS number, and the AD site. So you know a bunch of things just by looking at this to help you size properly. Great. Now for the center.
Yeah. It's not touch screen.
It's not. No. So for the center sizing, you have two things you need to think about. A is the busy packets per second that you need for the CPU and memory requirements. So 21,000, you would go here, go to the center table, center sizing table, and we have 10,000 and 40,000. So you could have like the middle in between if you want. That would work. What I recommend is that if you have a number, let's say 20,000, 30,000, and the next one is 40, like you have either something that's less than that or more than that, go with the one that's more. Your environment may change, increase, so you might as well. It's not the big differences anyway, so just go to the one next to that. So let's pick the 4,000, then you would have 8 cores, 16 gig of memory, and that's for the CPU and memory sizing of the center. For the storage sizing, you would want to look at average, not the busy, because we don't, when you're looking at storage capacity, you don't care about that busy period, just care the average, the daily average, and then you multiply that. That would be your, you know, the amount of storage that we generally need for that. And it's basically you would have for the 40,000, 12 gigabytes per day, and for the 1 month that we need for the machine learning, that's what we need. You don't need more than that, by the way. Some people just say, okay, I want half a year. You don't need half a year. You only need 1 month. So just size according to this, and that would be more than enough. But if you do want more data in the database to have a look offline later or whatever it is you want to do with the data, that's also fine. So we would need 360 gigabytes for that specific deployment. That's what the customer purchased. So hopefully not a lot after we made a lot of the improvements. And again, we are continuing in that road. Great. So with that.
Cool, thanks.
Pass the clicker.
So just curious, how many of you have identity roles? Like you're an identity leader in your, okay. And how many of you are security?
Nice.
Okay, and networking? Okay, I'm missing a big category. Active Directory, I think identity.
Yeah.
Oh, so identity?
Oh, okay.
AD? Okay. So we're about half AD and security then, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Good mix.
All right. So this product requires both of you to work together in your organizations, along with networking and virtualization. And how many of you understand the gateway versus the center in terms of the function that they provide? Is everybody? Are there some of you that don't? Okay. Yeah, just really quickly, the gateway, once again, is the processing engine, and the center is the UI. So he went through a lot of that. We're going to go through a demo on the deployment, but I just thought maybe we should just level set really quickly. So in terms of infrastructure design for the center, the UI, the question is physical versus virtual. And do you have a VM capacity? You can do both. Anything else you want to say about the center?
No, you basically can do both physical, virtual, whatever makes sense for you, for the center.
Just needs to be server 2012.
Yeah, you just need to ask yourself, do I have VM capacity? Like, do my existing host can have that? If yes, and you prefer virtual, do that. If not, then you want to expand your VM host, do that. Or if not, then you buy a physical server.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the gateway or the lightweight gateway, then the big question which Benny went through, and the sizing tool is amazing. It just simplifies the entire process. Is your domain controller under 10,000 packets per second, yes or no? And if it is under...
And we asked that question because, and I didn't mention that, sorry, because at the moment, the lightweight gateway supports up to 10,000 packets per second, busy time. Okay? We can do more than that, and if you want, you can contact us. We'll give you our emails later, and we can chat about that. And we are expanding that portability statement. But if you have like more than that, 20,000, which, by the way, most of your domain controllers, not all, will not have that. But if you do, then lightweight gateway is less of an option for that.
Right.
Okay.
So basically, the lightweight gateway is a Windows service running on your domain controllers. And if you're told, if you have enough CPU and memory, and your domain controller traffic is under 10,000 packets per second, that's a candidate for lightweight gateway.
Yeah.
Makes it really simple for your deployment. Great for branch site offices. Streamlines that entire process. If it's greater than that, you know, you can add some more resources and push it. But if you've got 20, 30, 40, 50,000 packets per second, then you're going to need to use the full gateway, which is going to be passively listening to the traffic via port mirroring. The big question that to answer for each one of you is on the security side with the security considerations. As we talked about, this company was named Arado, which equals invincible. So the original
invisible.
Invisible. Invincible, invisible. Thank you. The original design was to be invisible and invincible to the adversary, which meant passively listening to those domain controllers. So the adversary, if we assume compromised, like would not know that you've got this product running, detecting that lateral movement. However, there are scenarios where you would prefer a simplified deployment and or there's cost prohibitive reasons why you couldn't add more virtual or physical resources to your environment such that the lightweight gateway is the best option, and or you have branch sites where it's just not feasible at all. So the choice is yours, and you can have a combination of the two. Now, the other big question that comes up is on certificates. You've got self-signed certificates or issued certificates. Choice is yours. Self-signed, once again, simplifies the process. You can always go back and use your own certificate through PKI if you have that. Additionally, the big question on, you know, do you have an existing SIM? And this is all about how we enhance the events, how ATA is going to get those events to enhance pass the hash, abnormal behavior, brute force, et cetera. So we will need Windows event forwarding from the lightweight gateway or the gateway and or from the SIM to enhance those detections. So we currently support QRadar, ArcSight, Splunk, RSA. And if you have a SIM that we don't currently support, it's relatively straightforward for us to add that. So let us know. But this is just the big question. So additionally, from a security perspective, you know, the question is, you know, how do you want to join the center, to the domain or to a work group? Now, if you're assumed compromise and or you suspect there's an adversary in already, then you wouldn't want to join it to a domain, you want to join it to a work group. However, if you don't, if you're confident that they're not, then and it's simplified administration, you can join it to a domain. Once again, choice is yours. So these are the summary components that we talked about. Relatively straightforward. And Benny. Yeah, I must be.
By the way, how many of you have been in Ignite last year when I presented with Demi, our marketing manager? Okay.
Okay, but I'm not Demi.
I know. Okay. I'm just remembering.
Okay, so now that we're ready to install, Benny is going to walk you through the deployment. You'll see how straightforward it is.
Thanks. So, yeah. Deployment. So let's talk about the requirements of the center, and then I'm going to demo that. Then we'll talk about the requirements of the gateway, and then I'm going to demo that. It's a very simple deployment. So in terms of the requirements, 2012 R2 or 2016 are supported. In terms of the OS, the amount of hardware, again, sizing matters. How many packets per second? Do the sizing, then you know which hardware do you need, or what's the amount of CPU, memory, and storage you need. In terms of networking, so one NIC, two IP addresses. So you do need two IP addresses, or one IP address with two different ports. You'll see that in a moment. And in terms of certificates, either use the self-sign, which the deployment allows, which really simplifies things, or you can choose your own. Just as an example, a server authentication template from your CA or web server would be just fine. And one other thing, some of the components that we installed when on the server, so .NET Framework 4.6.1, that's our requirement. So we install that if it doesn't exist, so you don't need to worry about that. We install MongoDB, that's the database we are using behind the scenes. You don't need to, you know anything about the database for the product to work. We do that for you. We install a self-signed certificate if you choose to, which is the default. And then, obviously, the AT Center service. And we also install a custom data collector set in Perfmon. I don't know if you're familiar with Perfmon. That is like a black box. It's always recording. That's also in the center and in the gateway. So if there is an issue, you can stop that collection, open that DLG file, the performance capture, and then have a look. We have counters and the operating system counters to know what's going on with the system.
Hey, Benny, there are a couple of questions. Are we going to answer them now or later?
We can answer one question now and then later. Yeah. So the question was, what type of certificates are supported? That's a great question. I'm assuming you had an issue with that, since you were smiling. OK, great. So we support, at the moment, CSP certificates, so not KSP. That's one. The bit key length of the certificate needs to be 2048. So those are the main things of what we support and don't support. And by the way, in the next version, those requirements are going to, become more soft, so it would be easier. But most certificates are like that. Yeah, good question. And you'll get a T-shirt.
There was a second certificate question.
Yeah, so another question, and then we'll move on. Yeah. So the question was, I'm interpreting the question, let me know if that's OK. Can I manually query MongoDB for my own purposes? I want to know stuff that you record. Yeah, so you can do that. For security purposes, the database only listens on a local IP address. So from another location, from another server from the outside, you cannot do that. You cannot connect to our database. You need to be locally on the machine in order to perform those queries. But you can do that for sure. Yeah, good question. OK. T-shirt. So, wow, I'm
nice
really good.
Throw.
Thank you. I practice every day. Okay, so let's demo that real quick. So we have a center machine here, and we have the bits for 1.7 update 1, which is coming out very, very soon, by the way. And these are preview bits. I'm just going to go over the deployment. So this is a preview bits of the deployment. The actual bits will be a higher version than this. You accept the EULA, of course you accept. And then you basically have the installation path, the database path, which on your production deployment, if you know, you would run that on another drive, another LAN that you get, not your operating system drive. And then you set the so there are two services, or like logical services for the one ATA process, that's the actual service. And there is the center service and the console. So the console is the web API. When you browse to ATA, you do that through that console service, or the web API. And the center service is the service that's actually talking with the gateways, getting the traffic, letting them know, hey, there's a new configuration for you. So all of that is being done through that API. The center service. Nobody else other than the gateways is communicating through the center service. So this one. So preferably you would have two different IP addresses, but let's say like in my case you only have one IP address, you just change the port, because this port for the console, for your browser, it's hard-coded for 443 SSL. So you don't need to worry about, hey, did I change the port for the console? You only change the port maybe for the gateways, and they know how to communicate with each other. So it simplifies that. So I'm just going to change the port to something else, and then that exclamation mark warning me and blocking me from installing has gone off. and a certificate, so self-signed certificate. So if, by the way, if for some of you it's, you know, you're asking yourself, well, why does one certificate if we have two services, that we are re-engineering some of the things behind the scenes so that we now don't need two different certificates, while we do have two different sockets. Both are using the same certificate. And in the future, that's also going to be a bit simpler. But in 1.7, we have removed our IIS dependency, and we only need one certificate. So installing that, while it's doing that, actually, let's move on to, so it's going to just give us progress bars about the various components that's being installed. I'm just going to move, so we won't need to wait for that, unless there is any question on this specific topic. Yeah? Sorry?
Can you be bound to an IPv4 and an IPv6 address, or is it just one or the other?
So for a specific service, it's just one. But if you have one for IPv4 and one for IPv6, yeah. That's another T-shirt. But don't ask questions just to get T-shirts. Sorry, that was way off. Yeah. Okay, good question. Or maybe it's a question to get a T-shirt, I'm not so sure.
Can you repeat it for the room?
Yeah, so the question was, in the database, do you only store the configuration, or do you also have the data that we collect? So we store everything there. All of the network traffic that we parse, and we logically call it a network activity, and all of the events that we call it an event activity. So all of that data, plus the profiling, and the accounts that we are monitoring, and the configuration, everything basically, is stored in that database. And the T-shirt. And I think it should be done in a second. Whoa.
So. What is the average size for the data collection for each day? Average size for computation?
So that's a complicated question to answer, but I'll try. It depends on the amount of traffic. As I said, the sizing tool basically would tell you that. So I'm going to go back here. So this is the daily for an organization with 40,000 packets per second. Let's say that's an average, maybe a bit more. So the daily would be 12 gigabytes. Yeah? Yeah. For the database, yeah. Does that answer the question? Great. And T-shirt and going back.
We could stay after. Let's keep moving.
Great. So actually, so that was the center deployment. I'm going to launch that. And while I do that, let's go back to the deck and talk about the gateway requirements before we deploy those. So the standalone gateway, the one that needs the port mirroring, not the lightweight, would need 20.12.2 or 20.16. Again, hardware, how many packets per second. And from a networking perspective, you would need two NICs, one for the management NIC, the one that talks with your organization, your RDP through, all of that, and another NIC just for the port mirror traffic. So all of the port mirror traffic would go to this dedicated NIC. You would need a dedicated, at least one. If that gateway is monitoring, you know, let's say 10 domain controllers, you could do that. If the total sum is not more than the maximum we support for a gateway, which is 50,000 packets per second, so you could potentially, you know, monitor as many. I have seen as many as 34 or 35, 30 something, this is monitored with one gateway, as long as the total average would be less than 50,000. So, and then you would need a lot of NICs, because some of them are from different subnets, different routers, so the port mirroring considerations here come into play, but potentially it could be only one NIC dedicated for all of that traffic. And server authentication certificates, we install again .NET 4.6.1, We do need a specific KB article that we bring with us with the deployment package, so you don't need to worry about that. That takes care of some of the port mirroring network sniffing thing, the promiscuous mode, basically. We installed the self-signed certificate, which we encourage to use, especially in the gateway, since you're not browsing, you're not using that service. And we install the gateway service, the gateway updater service, and again, the data collector set to capture traffic. In terms of lightweight gateway requirements, so we do support more because we want you to be able to deploy that on more environments. So some of your environments, you still have domain controllers with 2008 R2 domain controllers, so you can deploy that on them and above. And server core, if you're running the domain controller on server core, we support 2012 and above. Most, if not all of the customers we talked to so far haven't used server core in 2008 R2, have only used it on 2012. So.
We have a question.
I prefer if I can just finish that demo, and we'll, don't worry, I'll stay here for questions later. Thanks. One more thing to note is that on the Lightweight Gateway, when you deploy it, and again, we do install .NET 4.6.1 if it doesn't exist there. The .NET framework does require a restart sometimes, depending on what's going on in the server. So if you install ATA there, potentially you would need to restart that domain controller. Just keep that in mind. Great, and let's do a demo of the gateway deployment. So we basically now have the center deployed. I'm just gonna log in. This is the UI. This is the ATA console. When you get this new welcome experience in 1.7, and you basically, you know, one of the data sources that we need you to configure is Active Directory, so let me configure that. I'm just using a service account that we have dedicated for ATA. We don't need, by the way, any special permissions or anything, just regular domain user with read permission to all of the objects. That's all we need. And there is one specific detection for a mass deletion of objects that does require for you to set permission for that user for the deleted object container. But other than that, we don't need anything. I'm going to put the password, and I'm going to put the domain, and I'm going to test that. Great, connection successfully, and save. So at the moment, I'm at the first stage over here. Hopefully you can see that. When I'm going to save, I'm going to move to the next stage, which is download the gateway setup and install the gateway. I press on that, and it takes me to the page to download the gateway setup. Now I'm actually have a gateway package that can be deployed on the gateway with that those credentials. And yeah, when it's downloaded, I basically take that. I'm going to copy that to the domain controller in my case. So that's the domain controller. In my case, I'm just deploying the lightweight gateway, not the gateway. So I'm deploying that straight to the domain controller because that's where the lightweight gateway is installed. Oops, not this one. Great, and I saved the gateway package at the temp folder that I just downloaded from the center. I just extract that and run the deployment. So here we have two options, which you cannot you know, manually tweak yourself, but you have either it's a gateway or a lightweight gateway. The package is installing both, by the way. We get that question sometimes. And we know that if it's a domain controller, the server I'm installing on, then it's installing the lightweight gateway version. And if it's not a domain controller, then it's installing the gateway. It's very simple. In this case, I'm also getting a warning that the lightweight gateway is installed on hardware that doesn't have enough resources, because we do monitor, and we do have a minimum requirement of 2 cores and 6 gigabytes of memory. And in my case, I have 2 cores and 4 gigabytes of memory. So you have this nice warning, and if you'll click on that, I don't have internet connectivity from the machine, it will go to the sizing article and let you know what's the minimum, okay? But in a lab environment, it's okay to do, although you may run into some issues, so I'm gonna proceed with that. And again, installation path, certificate, we do recommend for the gateway especially to have the self-sign to simplify things. The gate registration. So this process now where you need to, let me do that before, and I'll explain what it is. So this user I'm entering, and it's written over here as well, needs to be an admin on the center machine. And the reason we need that is because at this moment when I'm registering the new gateway, they exchange their certificates. They say, okay, your certificate I'm gonna trust, and the center says, ah, that's your new gateway certificate I'm gonna trust, and in order to trust that gateway, we need to know that an admin of the center of the ATA deployment is actually allowing that. And from that moment on, The gateway would trust the center certificate, and the center would know I have a new gateway, that's its name, and that's the certificate. And no one else can use that certificate, and that's it. And we basically establish this trust, mutual certificate authentication between the center and the gateway. And that's how we encrypt and authenticate the communication between the gateway and the center. Okay? Cool. And let's go back to the center to see that. So in a few seconds, hopefully, yep, the domain controller just appears as a lightweight gateway. Let me zoom in maybe. Not sure if you can see that. You can see that now. So you see that we have a new gateway. It's the type is lightweight gateway. You know, that's the FQDN of the domain controller. It's monitoring, that's the version, the status, and everything. Cool? So it's a very simple deployment. I have ATA deployed. Yeah.
So is there a way to deploy this to multiple DCs at once? Or is it kind of a manual process?
That's a good question. So the question was, is there a way to deploy this to multiple domain controllers at once? So we do have the silent installation deployment, so you can just package that, SCCM or any other thing, and just, you know, ship it. Yeah, good question. T-shirt. I'm starting to run out of those. Okay, so that was the demo of the deployment. And with that, let's go to best practices.
Yes. So best practices for POCs. Now, we recommend you deploy straight to prod.
It's not a joke.
It's
but
not a
joke. You can
joke.
Laugh.
This is a product that is going to give you those eyes on lateral movement, the best sample size is your organization, so we can build that machine learning algorithm. We can fire those deterministic attacks, and you can then determine what your remediation plan is. The traditional way of testing in like a quarantined lab is not the best approach here for this product. It is your production deployment. The second component is if you want to verify that your deployment was successful, just use NSLookup to validate an alert so that you can see if there's any DNS recon occurring. It's just a great way. You'll see the center fire an alert, and it's a great way to validate that it is actually working. Additionally, we recommend you use Netmon, not Wireshark. Message Analyzer is not supported, and so we recommend that you use Netmon.
So just a note on that. So when you're using the gateway and you want to validate that the port mirror traffic that your networking guy told you that he did, is actually there, you should use Netmon because Message Analyzer is not supported for some technical reasons I'm not going to go to. And Wireshark, when you start Wireshark and the gateway is still on, the promiscuous modes get mashed up a bit and you need to restart the gateway service. So you can do that, but you will need to restart the gateway service. And the main purpose of this is here is that when you want to validate traffic on the port mirror configuration, you do that with Netmon.
Cool. Okay, so now we're going to get into some top FAQs. So I can ask the room or I can ask you, what should we do?
Let's ask me, because we're running out of time.
Okay, yeah. All right. So what if I already have a SIM, Benny? What do I do? Do I need this product?
So we get that question a lot. And yes, you do need that product, because not only Gartner said that, you know, SIMs are not equipped basically to catch advanced attackers, but there's a new market that does that where we reside, ATA resides in, the UEBA market. Also, practically, all of the breaches that occur, all of them have millions of dollars worth on security, and they have SIMs. And none of them have ever caught an attack. So practically, they don't catch attacks. Yeah.
Okay.
But we do.
And then what if I already have a competing product?
That's another great question. And to sum that up, I'm just going to say, when you're evaluating another product, fine. We encourage you to do that. Install them, but at least install us as well. Perform a pen test. Just simulate some advanced attacks. Let's do pass the ticket. Let's do golden ticket. Do some of those, and let's see who catches what. That's the ultimate test. And then you can decide. Yeah.
And then what are the bandwidth requirements?
So great question. So we get this a lot. Like all of the gateways that are spread across the world and are basically sending that parse traffic to the center. So you may ask, well, how much bandwidth do I need from those sites, maybe branch sites, to the center? So very, very little. You would actually, the conversion here is, think about megabytes converted into kilobytes. So 1%-ish of the traffic. We basically filter out a lot of the traffic in an intelligent way. We pick up the things that we care about. From those packets, we also pick certain fields, not all of them, combine those into a singular entity, we call the network activity, and then compress before we send. So very, very little, especially in a brand side scenario where, to begin with, you don't have a lot of traffic in those smaller locations. It's kilobytes, 5 kilobytes, 10 kilobytes on average that we send from those small gateways.
So since we've already established the networking teams are not in the room, you can go back to your offices and communicate with confidence that there shouldn't be an impact of the network.
Yeah.
So let's see. Does ATA have support for IaaS?
So yes and no. The gateways, as I said, the lightweight gateway, you can install on a domain controller that's on an IaaS provider. The center, we don't have at the moment, no.
And what about high availability and disaster recovery? The traditional way of needing disaster recovery may not apply here, does it?
Yeah, it's a big question. What I can say is, A, we're working on that. We know we got a lot of asks for that, and that's something we're working on. It's a major engineering effort that we are making to make sure that your ATA deployment, specifically the center, would have high availability and scale-out capabilities. That's something we're working on. But for now, specifically, you can use the file-based recovery, which is very, very simple. So we basically back up the center configuration all the time. You can just export the certificate you used in that center, just back do those two files. And when you recover, let's say the server crashes, you simply install it with the same name, same IPs, recover that private key, that certificate with the private key you just backed up, and then there is a command to inject the configuration back, and that's it. All of the gateways that's already installed would continue working with that new center you deployed. So at least you have some way to quickly recover a server.
Yeah. Great. So I'm just going to wrap up, and then we'll take questions. Does that sound good? OK. So to recap then, we wanted to provide the overview in terms of what the product's capabilities were. This session was all around the deployment, and we wanted to go through the planning tool so that you could see how important sizing is. It's not the number of DCs. It is the number of packets per second flowing through your environments. And then how straightforward the deployment is. So the deployment is relatively easy. We do have Windows Update. It is agile engineering, so we're continuing to enhance our existing detections, add new detections and capability. So we hope you walk out of this room today with confidence that it is straightforward, and we're happy to take questions, and then you've got the rest of the product team here.
And just before we take the question, again, thank you, and we'll appreciate your evaluations. These are some of the resources, and we do have a theater session later today. And with that, let's open for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So you have mics. You have mics. If you can line up behind the mics and ask your questions so that everybody can hear.
Yes. I have a question here.
Yeah.
Do you have any built-in remediation for the ATA just in case you discover any attack? Do you have any built-in remediation process?
So we didn't talk about the detections at all. It's notifications.
Just for notification.
So I'm not sure, I didn't get the question.
I'm talking about if you have any built-in remediation process, remediation.
Oh, so built-in remediation.
Yes.
So at the moment, we don't have. By the way, I don't know any advanced security product that does automation, because there are always some false positive, and you don't want any automatic thing before you. So that's A, you don't want any automatic thing because potentially there are false positive, and B, if it's an advanced attack campaign, you don't want to turn to do something immediately. You want to understand what's going on in the organization before you do something, because the attacker would know that if you're doing something, that you caught him, and they would do something else. So there are other steps, not automatic steps,
that's
to do.
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah.
You have support for Citrix environments now, but in real life experience, how much intelligence info do you lose? How much of the normal activities do you lose when you work in a Citrix environment?
So can you repeat the question?
Yeah. Here and there's 12 of you in line. I worry, do we want to have everybody listen to the questions, or do you guys want to come up and have
the thing is that maybe other people can benefit from the question.
It's up
that's
to the
why.
Room. Yeah, you want?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And plus it's still recording, we have 10 minutes. After that, we can split up. Yeah. Okay. So can you repeat the question again?
Sure. In Citrix environments, your logon computer will effectively be a Citrix server. And you have support for that now, but I guess you would lose a lot of abnormal normal activity learning
okay.
from that.
Good question. So the question was about Citrix environments where customers, where the users are logging on and basically moving for many, many computers. So the multiple answers to that, I'll start. The question is pointing specifically for the abnormal behavior detection. That's it. All of the other detections that we have, the deterministic ones, it's not relevant for that. And most of our detections are for the advanced kill chain, for the advanced attack in the attack kill chain. So it's not relevant to that. After moving that, yes, the abnormal behavior for those users would be less noisy. So we wouldn't know, let's say they are using 10 machines a week. If they use one or two more machines, yes, we won't know. So we would be less able to catch some abnormalities in that scenario. And by the way, that's something that we are working on, not for the current version, for the next one, to be able to catch in a better way. We are working on some of those scenarios. Good question. Yeah, thanks.
Should we rotate?
So yeah, let's rotate here. Yeah. Right here. Oh, here first, yeah. So you, what? Sir, with the phone.
He's not ready. We'll go here.
Yeah.
So two things. One, do we need a center per forest, or can we do multiple forests?
Great question. I didn't cover that. So yeah, we need a center per Active Directory forest. Yeah.
Okay. And then the second one was, you'd mentioned that there was a limit of 400,000 packets per second per gateway. The sizing website says there's also a limit of 400,000 packets per second aggregate for the center.
So the 400,000 packets per second is for the center.
For the center?
Yeah, not for the gateway.
So total for across all DCs?
Yes. All of the domain controllers that are being monitored by all of the gateways, when they send the traffic, it's 400,000 per second. Yeah. Thanks.
And if you can't, then it's better to surround your high value assets first. Like, don't not do it because you have more traffic than 400,000.
Yeah.
We'll have that discussion and together if you need help. Okay?
Yeah.
Or should we go over here?
Let's have two per.
Okay.
For the lightweight gateway, is there a way to configure the minimum requirements of logs that it keeps? Like, it keeps up to 30 days of logs and it drops after that, but.
Okay, so that's a good question. It helps clarify something. So the gateway and the lightweight gateway are stateless. They don't keep anything. Everything is in memory and shipped directly to the center, and then it's not in the memory. Okay. So we don't keep anything persistent on storage on the lightweight gateway or gateway. Everything is in the database, in the MongoDB, in the center. Great, yeah.
For the lightweight gateway, when it asks for credentials, is that a one-time, that's just that one time, it doesn't store those credentials?
The deployment, you mean?
Yes, during the deployment.
Yes, so we don't store the credentials. We just use the credentials, the admin credentials on the center to register, to switch the certificate, and from that point, all of the communication and recognition of authenticating who is who are done due to those certificates.
And can that be, is that a local account on the server?
It can be a local account, it can be a domain account, whoever is an admin on that machine.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any plans to integrate into Azure AD, 365, OMS, any of that?
That's a good question. So for OMS, we have integration. Thanks, Michael. So for OMS, we have integration today. For other products that you mentioned, we do have plans to integrate. I cannot share the plans yet or any ETA, but we are working on that.
Thanks.
Sure. Thanks. Yeah.
Over there. We took two over here.
We took two over here. Yeah.
For the analytics to be effective, what's the minimum pilot duration you recommend?
That's a good question. I say at least 1 month.
Well, it takes 21 days to calculate, to build that decision tree for the machine learning algorithm for your organization. So at minimum 3 weeks. So I would say, yeah. I mean, that's like day one for that piece. So at least a month, if not 2 months.
But other pen testing you could do after a few days. You can just start. You
but
don't need to wait for all of that.
Yeah, immediately we'll fire those deterministic attacks. We'll find sensitive creds in the clear. You'll get value out of it day one.
Yeah.
And then the second question?
Yeah. So the second question was, what about if you have multiple forests with trust, so there's need to different centers, but do they talk to each other? Or is it separate data because, well, you can be admin in every forest?
So at the moment, it's a separate center deployment, separate data. We do have plans in the future to improve on that as well. Thanks.
So we're going back over here to the black shirt.
Yeah.
The MongoDB, is there like maintenance tasks, cleanup tasks? I can say I want to keep 12 months of data, then it purges the database.
That's a great question. So I didn't mention that, but we do have an automatic mechanism built into the center that once we reach 20% of free space, we would start deleting the old data. Yeah. So we would do that for you. So if you size for 1 month, automatically the center would delete the old data for you.
Okay. Another question, in their earlier Windows Defender threat protection, they said they had hooks into ATA, ATP. That's coming, I guess.
Yes.
So yes, you saw the demo, so we do have plans for that as well, yeah.
Second question.
Thank
over
you.
There.
Is there any plan to make it possible to customize the text and the alerts when something is triggered so we can enter our own policy or types of actions we want our people to take when we see it?
So at the moment, we don't have that. But I'm happy to take that offline to chat on the scenario, and maybe we'll add that. Yeah, thanks.
Is there a way to automatically update the certificates you're using?
Sorry?
The certificates in the communication that will run for a year or 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So is there a way to use auto-enrollment or automatic?
So at the moment, it's a manual thing that you need to do, but next release, we do have plans to have all of that sorted out for you, so you don't need to worry about that.
Great.
Yeah.
So I saw something around LDAP traffic you'll monitor. If I just finished pushing all my devs to using SSL LDAP calls, are you looking at those SSL LDAP calls, or is that kind of protected via SSL?
So you need to understand what do we detect on, like what do we care in the traffic in order to even like ask, oh, is that now concealed from ATA or not? So we would essentially look around at the behavior of those LDAPs, and the entity is doing that for those, and we don't care about the actual thing within the LDAP. So it won't affect us in any way. Great, thanks.
So in the event forwarding side, you know, so there's 4776 that you guys, you know, set to have it send it over to the gateway. So we have a gateway that we have all the DC send it over. Now that we're going to deploy the lightweight gateway to the DC, do we still need that window event forwarding to send from all the DC to this particular gateway that we have?
So you can choose. You can either do it the old way, where you have a gateway that gets everything from everybody and then sends it out to the center, or you can separate that into having every lightweight gateway, you know, take the traffic locally, the events in the Windows event forwarding locally, and then sending that to the center. So you can choose.
But if I have the lightweight gateway set up on the DC already, isn't it supposed to pick up that particular event too?
It'll forward its.
So you still, at the moment, you still need to forward to itself and then pick it up.
Got it.
But we're gonna improve that experience as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Just a quick question on licensing. How's that license?
So I'm not the licensing guy, but we have.
Yeah. You want? It's either licensed for ECAL, licensed for EMS, or you buy it standalone. So you most likely own it if you already have ECAL or EMS.
All right, thanks.
And then you can true up. So if you only have a subset of users for EMS, you can true up. You can still deploy it.
In the case I'm using a gateway, is it dedicated to a single domain or also to domain controllers of different child domains in a forest?
Great question. So both the center and the gateway can be in multiple domain, but one forest.
But
so you can have domain controllers for multiple domains.
Okay.
For one
and
gateway.
Is there any plan of integrating this with SCOM?
So we are building a management pack.
Okay.
So we would have some integration, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
How do we get feedback to the product team? Because I mean, you clearly got a lot of stuff that you're working on. Is there a specific URL or is there a specific address we can get to the product team?
So there is an ATA eval at Microsoft.com that you can just email with any feedback you want, or you can also come and just we'll share contacts and you can ping me.
On the data transmission, riverbeds, go, no go, what protocols to optimize?
Sorry, can you ask again?
Riverbeds?
Yeah.
What protocols to optimize on the data transfers? For the agent to the centers?
You mean would it be okay to do one optimization?
We're gonna do it, so which protocols do I need to basically, on the transfer, what do I need to optimize?
So the gateway is basically sending via SSL to the center. So if that's the question.
It's all SSL encrypted on the transfer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Question about the sizing tool. What do you recommend running the tool in time? Is it a day?
24 hours.
Yeah, the default is perfectly fine. One day to just, you know, is an average day in the organization. Yeah, not the weekend, but just a working day.
If you wanted to be super precise, then you could run it a couple of times so
that
we make sure we understand the peak busy.
That's a good suggestion, yeah.
Yeah.
Just run it one time and then a few days after, again, see that you have the same results and you're good to go. Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned also about the database, cleaning it up, maintenance. What is the retention time?
So at the moment, you don't control retention time. You just size. Let's say you size for 1 month. So you have, I think the example was 360 gigabytes for that specific scenario. So when we reach 20%, and we included those 20% in that calculation already, we would start deleting the old data so that we would have 1 month in those 360 gigabytes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Here?
Yes, during the deployment, you use a service account to install the ETA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the management, does the management support two-factor authentication?
So at the moment, we don't. But in the next version, I'm saying that a lot, we will support single sign-on.
Okay.
So that would help with that.
All right. Thanks.
Sure.
Regarding multi-forest environments, do you have plans to support those?
Yes.
With one center?
With one center, yes.
Okay.
Great.
Honey token account configuration, are there any best practices or security concerns?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we have a honey token detection. We will basically create a fake user. So a best practice is for that user. It's specific for an industry. But let's say a generic one would be, you know, your organization admin, SQL admin, super user, those kind of names that will lure the attacker to use. And then once there is any use of that account, we would alert you with a suspicious activity. Great. So we're done?
We're at time. Yeah.
OK, so we're out of time. So thanks again, and we'll be here for any other questions. Thank you.
I just cut out of here.